everybody. This is Brainstorm Brewery. Welcome back to the show. I'm Corbin Hostler. I'm joined by hosts Jason Ault and guest DJ Johnson here for another week. He still finds a way to slip onto the cast. So, yeah, how's it going, guys?
It's going all right. It's going fine, I guess. Finals week.
Gosh, well, thank you for, you can do finals and still find time to guest on the podcast, so that's impressive.
Yeah, he can find time to do mediocre in his classes and still make a mediocre contribution to this podcast. How does he do it?
How does one make a mediocre contribution to a mediocre podcast?
I didn't say this was a mediocre podcast.
I did.
It is my second favorite podcast. It's no money draft, but this is still a pretty good podcast.
But what is, really?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Some of our feedback on the, I want to say on the Brainstorm Brewery website, or maybe an MTG price.
I had not had that feedback.
Yeah, you don't read the feedback. You don't deign to interact with our listeners.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's it.
I think I'm the only one who actually interacts with them personally at events, though, because you guys never go to events.
Why would I go to an event and meet a bunch of nerds?
Exactly, right?
According to a podcast that we listened to a couple weeks ago, you were too busy to even hang out with Ryan when he graciously extended an olive branch to you.
Yeah. That's,
I don't know what we're talking about.
That's literally true. You wouldn't acknowledge Ryan when he was at the Haruruya booth next to
Oh my gosh, because we were literally in the middle of the top eight, so I was sprinting across the room to run deck lists to the video.
Yeah. I wouldn't sprint if I were you. I saw what happened last time you sprinted.
It's dangerous. That's true.
Go on YouTube, guys, and look up Corbin Hits a Light Pole if you haven't seen it already.
Even if you have seen it, just watch it.
Even if you have seen it, it's really funny.
It gets better and better each time.
It does. People at the game store found that the other day and just kept playing it. You know, I looked for the Chun-Li version, though, and I couldn't find it.
Oh, that was too bad. One of our listeners made a version with Chun-Li, sweep-kicking him.
It was actually
three or four years ago.
Yeah. But I couldn't find it. I went and looked. I Googled for a long time, and I couldn't find it.
I bet Marcel knows.
I mean, maybe if you could go find the show notes from back then, the ones where it got posted, but even then I couldn't really find the episode, so I'm not sure.
I bet Sander Vanderzee knows, and he'll...
I bet Sander does know. Sander, let us know, man. Because it was hilarious.
Super Vanderzee has... like the repository of, for a while there, he got sick of waiting for episode 200. And I agree. So he just started making YouTube videos of all his favorite moments, and we didn't sue him.
Those were pretty good.
Cause I liked that he was doing it. So, hey, if you ever feel like doing some more of that, you weirdo, go for it, man. That was fun.
I got a story before we get into Magic.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, so last week, as is my habit, I went to Buffalo Wild Wings on Wednesday night after Modern.
Oh, great story already. I know. Thanks for the – what a happy ending that was.
Dude, the fans are going to love it.
Everyone lived happily ever after in that story.
You don't have any fans, right. Corbin. The podcast has fans, but
– that's what I just said. I said the fans are going to love it.
Yeah, but they would have to love you in order to love this story.
I don't think that's true. In fact, the people who don't like me will like this story.
Well, if it's one of those stories, I guess I'll listen.
Yeah, so I eat some of it at B-Dubs, as usual, and I take the rest of it home, like you do, to have leftovers for the next day. So the next day at lunch, I have my son, and we have a dog gate up in the living room. You know, the kids on one side to keep the dogs from messing with them. I'm in the kitchen. I make my Buffalo Wild Wings for lunch. I've got it
how
on
do you,
the plate.
How do you make it?
You just heat it up.
Heat it up plate, how? Heat it up. In the microwave?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's practically inedible in the restaurant when it's fresh. Refrigerate it and then
call it a restaurant, Jason.
What's that?
Did you just call it a restaurant?
Yeah, we want them to sponsor us. So, yes, I'm going to call it a fine restaurant.
So
I can't even shit on meat as much as we shit on it. I shit on it because Corbin goes there too much. I actually kind of like Buffalo Wild Wings, though. I'll go there. I'll watch hockey there. And I'll eat their wings. So it was more the fact that we were all the way in another town, and Corbin's well, it's this restaurant. I've never heard of this place. And he made a bunch of
people.
Yeah,
when I'm in cities for GPs, I always try to go there on my last day before I leave on Monday for lunch or whatever.
You're just garbage.
Yeah, it's fine. So I'm taking my lunch into the living room to, sit down and watch TV with the kid or whatever. And I step one leg over the gate, And then as I'm like trying to bring my other leg over, my foot catches on the top of it. And so I've got like my left leg over it. I've got a plate in my hand full of Buffalo Wild Wings. And I'm like, my right foot gets caught on it and it starts like, you know, it trips me up. And I do a little stutter step to try to catch myself on my left leg. And I'm like teetering, trying to get my other foot over. And then it catches again as I'm like trying to catch my balance. So it cuts up my leg and I'm falling down, right? At this point, I'm like fully falling. And I have a moment, like a little moment of clarity where the world slowed down. And I was like, I have two choices right here. I can say, fuck this plate and drop it and use my hands to catch myself. Or not. So I clearly made the right decision, and I managed, as I was falling, to lay the plate onto the table where, you know, I was setting it down to eat the little coffee table. So what happened is I basically landed with all of my weight on, like, my left knee on our, like, rug on our wood floor. And then I just, like, my knee just like immediately started swelling up and I just like laid on the floor in the fetal position. And I was just like screaming, you know, some number of obscenities because of the pain. And my like, you know, my 6 month old baby is like 5 feet away, just like cracking up, looking at me and laughing while I'm dying. But the important thing is I saved the Buffalo Wild Wings. I couldn't go play basketball that night because my knee was swollen and it hurt a lot.
And cause you're white and fat, mostly cause you're white and fat.
Yeah, but I play every week and like I, you know, I'm like a pretty good basketball player for, you know, being white and fat. But the important thing is, yeah, I had to skip basketball last week and my knee hurt a lot, but my kid enjoyed it and I got to eat my Buffalo Wild Wings. So all in all, it was a good night.
Wait, what happened? I blacked out.
You wish. You wish you blacked out. You heard the story and all the story. Yeah.
Man. Shit's a hazard, kid stuff. She does this thing where she like will take a toy off of her high chair and hold it out at arm's length, and I'm like, don't do it. And she'll look at me and we'll make eye contact. I'm like, Lily, don't do it. And then she'll just release it and drop the toy on the floor. And I'm like, I told you not. And I'll pick it back up and she'll do it again. She'll hold it and look at it. And she'll put her arm's length out and just hold it there. I'm like, don't do it. And then she'll just drop it. And I'm like, son of a bitch. So all of her mealtime toys, like the stuff we put on her tray table to keep her occupied. Because when she's done eating, she starts screeching. So we just feed her like these little bullshit Cheerio things so we can actually finish our food before she starts shrieking at us.
Is it the nom noms, the baby nom noms things?
No.
That's what Marianne has.
It's just like some shit that suction cups to her tray table and she's strong enough to pull it off there. And, one of those was on the ground. I was letting the dog out and I went skating on it. So my one foot was planted and the other foot is like skated on. I about tore my sack and landed with my knee on like the step up into the kitchen. So toys are a hazard. Like, man, yeah. Everyone warned me about, I'm glad it didn't happen at the top of the steps. Cause I could have just, I wonder how many people are killed by fucking roller skates like every year. Because I let my guard down for a second, and about had to get an emergency sacotomy surgery.
So yeah, I'll just be like sitting in bed with Ben, give him a toy to play with, and he just loves to swing the thing with his hand and hit me in the face with it.
Oh, my daughter! Like, no, my daughter doesn't do that. She's not a violent person.
Dude, this kid. So I give him his little truck, plays with it for like half a second. Next thing you know, he flings it at my face over, and it just sits there, kicks you. And they're little violent things, man. All they do is laugh at you and hurt you. And then make you feed them and care about them and love them. It's bullshit.
That sounds like the worst.
Yeah.
She's really testing it. Like, she's like, oh, you love me and so you don't want anything bad to happen to me? So, like, if I screamed, you'd have to be nice to me? Because, you know, oh. What if I just screamed at 3 a.m.? Just once. Just went, ah! At 3 a.m. Just did that shit. Just enough to wake up mommy, who's got to go to work tomorrow. And make daddy run upstairs, and then by the time you get into my room, I'm already back asleep with my pacifier in. Just, ah!
Dude, you're lucky that she can, that she sleeps through the night mostly. Ben wakes up like twice a night, Marianne has to go feed him, and then still get up and go to work.
Oh, fuck that. We're on formula.
Yeah.
We just give her like 8 ounces before bed, and she's kind of like, Food coma. Down. She's down for like 10 hours. It's the best.
Dude, it's messed me up because I'm used to getting up in the morning. I could get up at like 7 with them and, you know, hang out with them for a bit. And then we usually both take a nap in bed before we get up for the day. And now he's old enough and mobile enough that he can throw himself off the bed. So the other day I was like taking our naps. We usually do. I wake up and he's just like lying on top of a pillow on the side of the bed. Because like we obviously were smart enough to stuff it with pillows, but the little kid still threw himself off the bed trying to kill himself. Like,
oh yeah,
put him on the changing table. He tries to roll off.
Like, she's taking a header off the bed and she's taking a header off the couch. And like,
yeah, suicide machines, man.
Yeah, she just really wants to try to be reincarnated as someone else's kid, I think.
Wow. I don't blame her.
I think she all wants right,
let's
to.
Talk,
yeah.
Let's talk magic.
Hope I come back as a boy.
All right. We've got some spoilers from Aether Revolt. Some previews, if you will.
They're revolting.
Dude, one of them is insane. Heart of Kieran. That dude died, but he came back as a giant ship. Have you guys seen this card?
Yeah, I've seen the card.
So it's a 2-mana 4/4 vigilance flying legendary vehicle. Crew of 3. You may remove a loyalty counter from a planeswalker you control rather than play its crew cost. So you can play it on 2. Then play your Dipala on 3 to crew it. Or play a Planeswalker on 3, plus your Planeswalker, like plus your Saheeli Rai, and then minus your Saheeli Rai on their turn to block.
Why don't you play Chandra and use Chandra's mana to play this?
Well, yeah, you can do that too on turn 4. Like, it's weird because it competes with Smuggler's Copter at the 2-drop spot, but this thing is insane. Like, and Veteran Motorist crews it really well as well.
Veteran Motorist crews the shit out of this.
This card is nuts.
It's pretty good, man. I don't know. We clearly don't know how to evaluate.
Well, we missed so badly on Smuggler's Copter, but we've got to be there.
Like if you read my tweets, because I was so confused about this card the whole time, because the first thing I tweeted about Copter was... the fact that Smuggler's Copter is so cheap makes me think I don't know how to evaluate cards. Well, and everyone's kind of like, I don't think it's that good. I'm like, all right, whatever. I think it's good. And then every time I looked at it, I thought the card was like, maybe it's cheap because it's bad and I don't know how to evaluate cards. So the price was always super cheap. And I was like, wow, okay, the price still isn't going up. I guess I'm a moron. So I don't know, man. I wasn't prepared to fight against everybody who buys cards on every website and refuse to buy this out. Like, I didn't think I knew more than every Magic player combined.
Right, right.
But fuck it.
I don't think we have a price yet for Heart of Kieran.
No, well, these are sort of like...
Cool Stuff has it for 14.
There you go. Cool Stuff
at
14.
That seems...
That's same time.
Smuggler's Copter is $15. I don't think this is
legendary.
Is Copter, but...
It's legendary, but it's also mythic, so... I don't know. 14's probably wrong, right? It's probably too much.
It's probably like 10.
Yeah, but this would have to get played a whole lot. I don't think
it could certainly come out, you know, explode the Pro Tour, be 25 for a week. But, you know, I think 14 is probably an OK price to pay if you think this card's just insane and standard or whatever. But I don't think it's a price to pay that you really expect to make money.
You know what I don't like to do anymore? I don't like to be responsible for judging the price of the cards themselves, because that's right, hard. Right. What's really easy is, hey, what is this going to make go up? And you look at something like Yeheni's Expertise. I have no idea if that's going to be cheaper or more expensive than Languish. But I do know the fact that it says you may cast a card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your hand without paying its mana cost means that you can cast Fuse cards and you can cast Suspend cards.
Restore balance.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the wheels because Yidris plays wheels. And even though Wheel of Fate just got the reprint, I kind of like that card too. I kind of like Restore Balance, and I really like Beck and Call. So all the basic bitches are like, hey, what about Ancestral Visions? I'm like, Beck and Call gives you 4 creatures and 4 cards. So maybe you just play that because it's the same thing. I mean, I realize having it in the deck means you can suspend, you know, the Ancestral Visions on one. I get that, but like, man, I kind of like that Beck and Call play. It's a little ballsy.
Wait, so you get to cast both?
You can fuse it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've gone back and forth with people on Yahini's expertise in Modern, and I don't think it's as good as people are making it out to be.
I don't think it's going to – I don't care about Modern.
Sure, but, like, if we're talking about, like, its price or whatever, you know, like, that's where a lot of people are talking about. You know, they're talking about, hey, Ancestral Vision for zero. That's great. You know, I get it. My thing is you have to look at everything contextually, and while that second ability is super powerful, paying 4 mana for the first ability in Modern is not that
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, you're casting Concentrate with a -3/-3 for everything. That's – I don't know.
You really need to be about that Anger of the Gods life. Taking a bunch of damage for an extra turn against Merfolk, against Zoo. Like, I think Yini's expertise is too little too late if you're not casting it on turn three.
Yes, exactly. Because you have to think about it in context. Like, yes, it's super powerful, but what decks do you want that effect against? You named it. Like, you want it against Zoo, Merfolk, Goblins, these sort of things. How wrecked, you know, can you afford to wait till turn four against those decks to cast your -3 ability? No. And that's the same amount you can play a Wrath for. So
yeah, Damnation.
You know, yeah, like, what do you, so, you know, say against a deck where you want Damnation, is this better than Damnation? No.
Because it doesn't kill Tarmogoyf.
Exactly. Or Grimflayer, or a whole bunch of stuff, which makes me think it's actually probably better in something like Jund, where you don't, or Obzon, where you don't mind bolting them on turn two or inquisitioning them, and then just taking your 2-for-1 with this and getting your 3-drop out there. You know, it's less you know, blatantly powerful or whatever, but it's very, very much more effective in those decks than it is in something like Grixis, where you can get your Ancestral Vision. That's my take on it. You know, so like, the power level on the card is obviously nuts, but that's not everything.
Sure.
Yeah. So, what else do you guys like from the set? Obviously, we have a pair of Ajani's and a Tezzeret.
Personally, it's not a whole lot spoiled yet. There's like 10 cards. I think Disallow is pretty busted.
Is that just a
what does Disallow do?
It's a mono blue Void Slime. Looks like.
Yeah. Basically, it's a colorless and 2 blue. Counter target spell, activated ability, or triggered ability.
Is there anything that makes that just like different than Void Slime? Or? No.
It doesn't have green mana requirement, which is pretty.
Sure, but.
Right, it's just Void Slime.
Okay.
Which is too bad, because Void Slime was super cool and had great art.
Yeah, I like Void Slime a lot, and the obsolescence of Void Slime. But I mean, this just, it goes in the decks that wanted to run Void Slime, you know, black, blue, white, stuff like that, so. I don't know if it's going to get played in any 60 card formats. So it's probably going to be $2 or $3, but I think it's pretty cool.
Is Trophy Mage good in EDH, Jason?
What's that?
Is Trophy Mage good in EDH?
I think you get an effect
with converted mana cost 3 from your deck.
Yeah. Traditionally Trinket Mage is played a lot more than Treasure Mage, and this is super narrow. But there's so much good shit at 3. It's, I mean,
like what?
Well,
swords.
Swords.
Every sword, Crucible of Worlds, Rings of Brightheart.
You said it, Crucible. That's what matters, I think.
Yeah, like just type in like just ever. Look at every 3-cost artifact in Gatherer. You know, like
that's a lot.
There's a bunch of good stuff.
I think Crucible's probably the biggest one there.
I mean, Sunforger. Yeah, but yeah, Crucible's a big one, and there's probably 2 or 3 more really big ones. So you're probably not getting Mana Rocks with this, but like, yeah, Swords, for sure. Three is a real important number, because in EDH, that's when you really start doing stuff. You're kind of like Crucible ramp, and then huge. Your first real play is at 3. Yeah. So.
I hadn't thought about Crucible. That alone, I think, is enough to make it an auto-include in all of the decks that, you know, all those sort of like green blue decks that want a Crucible.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's not a ton of they're not the bluest decks. Yeah,
Brixian Altar for combo stuff.
Yeah, it's a very good one.
Ensnaring Bridge, maybe.
I mean, yeah.
Extra Planar Lens.
Crawl Space is 4, right?
Crawl Space is 3.
Crawl Space is 3. I don't know if that's... I mean, Crawl Space, in my opinion, is just, like, mediocre most of the time anyway.
I mean, Oblivion Stone, I guess, if you really need to nuke stuff.
Sure.
Proteus Staff for combo stuff.
Yeah, so you got sure. You got a lot of flexibility there. I mean, Trinket Mage is Trinket Mage. You know, that gets you really important legacy stuff, but I think this is more of an EDH card than Trinket Mage. I mean...
This card gets you your your pick of the week from a couple weeks ago, and that's Umbromantle.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's a real important in that...
Kaidel?
Kaidel, yeah. I kept thinking Kaneos. Yeah, in the Kaidel deck, so...
Here's something we can talk about, getting back onto the... Onto the new set. I hadn't seen this keyword yet. Improvise. Your artifacts can help cast a spell. Each artifact you tap after you're done activating mana abilities pays for one of it. So that just means you can't, get double use out of it.
They actually wrote hierarchy in reminder text. Artifacts can help cast this spell. Jesus.
That's what was too.
They renamed it for Convoke like 2 years ago too.
I know. I hate that.
Really?
Yeah. It just reminds me of like Magic back in like Alpha.
It is a little like fourth wall breaking or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Because it is very it's very like non-technical wording, you know, just they can help you. Get it? But no, it's sweet. It's Convoke for artifacts only.
I mean, I don't necessarily want to go back to the days where it was just like a keyword ability. And it's just like, all right, flanking. I don't know what the shit that is. Or like buyback or something like that. Or kicker. Like some of the stuff, it explained it. And some of the stuff it didn't really explain it. Like, I guess I'm supposed to know what banding is somehow. I don't necessarily want to go back to those days. But man, some of the reminder text is...
What do you think about the ability, though? I think it's like pretty cool.
I think it's fine.
Convoke.
Now the real question
it's not like game breaking or unique like energy or vehicles was, but it doesn't need to be. Like it doesn't. It's just fine. It's a nice little glue to hold the set together.
It's Convoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine. I think
Convoke is fine.
There's only so much. So many game-breaking mechanics in a period of a year we can handle.
What if they just gave us old mechanics again?
Well, they do that, right? They bring back one a block.
Like they didn't have to do a billion new mechanics?
I think they actually, that was in Mark Rosewater's sort of, look back over the last year, the last one I read or whatever, State of Design, I think, is they said, basically, we used too many mechanics last year. Sets could have been better off without, like, any named a couple that I don't remember exactly, but...
Like Cohort.
Yeah. It was stuff like where, you know, these sets could have got by if we had just used one less mechanic and just carried one over or whatever. So I think that is some feedback that they've gotten and hopefully are learning from, because we brought that up, individually on this podcast before... It was something addressed by anyone else. Is we said, I just feel like there's too many things.
Yep.
Yeah. Doesn't mean like that. We were the first podcast to say it. He's just saying, irrespective of us hearing anything.
Yeah, like we independently came up with that. It's not like the community saying this. Let's talk about it. It was us saying, I want to talk about this. Let's talk about it.
And we really needed credit for that to validate ourselves.
No, it's just, I think it shows that
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, as people who are disconnected, in a sense, some of us more than others, but from the day-to-day in and outs of playing standard FNM, right? If we noticed it, then that's a real thing.
I mean...
Do we want to talk about how this Ajani and all the other Planeswalker recently... They're going to make us a bunch of money with Contagion Engine and Chain Veil.
Yeah, let's talk about the Planeswalkers. Ajani Unyielding is the set Planeswalker. It's actually weird. Both the set Planeswalker and the Planeswalker deck Planeswalker, both Ajani's are both 6 mana. But a Johnny Unyielding is quote unquote the good one. Comes in with four loyalty. It's the
blue one, right?
Do what?
It's the blue white one.
Yeah. Cream white.
Yeah, but it draws cards is his
point. Yeah. Plus to reveal the top three cards from your library and put all non-land permanents into your hand, the rest on the bottom. Minus two, exile target creature, its controller gains life equal to power. Minus nine, put five counters on each creature you control and five loyalty counters on each planeswalker you control. And this is where everyone says, Atraxa.
Yep.
Atraxa.
You play this, you got Doubling Season, it comes in with eight counters. You add four to it, and then pass the turn. Seems pretty good. Or you just proliferate and use it. I don't know, man. Atraxa has been the number one planeswalker from the new set on EDH Rec for weeks. I wrote an article weeks and weeks ago about it. We've been talking about it for a long time. It's finally happening. Now you see how glacially the EDH stuff moves. You had weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
Weeks to act. Every time there's a new EDH set or a new card, like the Gitrog monster made a bunch of cards spike and it took weeks. This is why I'm all about this EDH finance life now, because it's just so easy. You see it coming. You don't have to buy stuff out and trigger the market. You can just take a nice leisurely, you got a couple weeks to plan and just sort of buy the stuff, pick it up, trade whatever, go through boxes at stores and just sort of get your copies. And it's real obvious what's going to happen, and it's real slow. So that's why I'm about it. Atraxa came and is like, look, everything that deals with Infect stuff and everything that deals with Super Friends, bound to go up. Chain Veil doubled this week. Doubling Season had its own doubling season. You know, all kind of stuff. From Atraxa, and you know, Brea doing the same thing. Brea was so slow, a bunch of my picks of the week for the last month have gone up, you know. So I bet Yidris starts spiking stuff next, man. Watch the wheel effects. Watch big expensive stuff like Dig Through Time and my pick of the week, which I'll talk about later. You know, Vial Smasher is another one that's going to make the expensive stuff like Temporal Trespass. Anything that's expensive that you can cast for cheap. Anything with Delve, anything with, like, Blasphemous Act ability, that type of stuff. Just watch that stuff, because Yidris is going to make that spike too, because people are finally getting the decks, and they're finally building the stuff. Like, people didn't buy... For whatever reason, EDH players don't go and buy the stuff they need for the deck and then get the deck and then put it together. They don't think ahead. There's like, I can't wait till that EDH deck comes in the mail and then I can sit down and look at it and then decide what to build with and then go buy those cards. Like, the stuff, it didn't start to go up until after the decks were actually for sale, as opposed to when all the cards were spoiled, which was weeks before. I don't know why that happens, but I love it. So, you still have time to get on some of this Yidris crap, because that's the next most popular one. That's the third most popular of the decks, and it's just gonna make stuff go up, man. Get your Bear Umbras, you know, get your I don't know, Berserker's Onslaught for 50 cents. I don't know, get your Waste Knot for $4. It just got reprinted. Wait till that hits too, you know. Just this that's so easy. I don't know, I'm rambling because I feel like I say this kind of crap every week in my column on MTG Price. There's a reason I go after the EDH stuff, and I don't know. That's why I look at Yehenny's expertise as opposed to saying, hey, can I pre-order Heart of Kieran? Make some money off that? I'm looking at the stuff that's going to go up because Trophy Mage is good now. You know? So,
yeah.
We got three new Planeswalkers so far. I don't think... The new the Planeswalker deck, Tezzeret or Ajani, are particularly good in EDH, but they're gonna make a mistake, and they're gonna make a Planeswalker that is good outside of just Dirtle format, and I think it's gonna be a run on those decks. That's not what they're going for, but they're gonna mess up and make one of these Planeswalkers too good, even at six mana.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think these are it, right? The other Ajani is 6 cost, green, white, 4 loyalty, plus 2, put 2 counters on a creature. Plus 1, reveal cards from your library until you hit a creature put in your hand. Minus 11, put X counters on a creature where X is your life. That creature gains trample until end of turn. Resounding meh, right? So,
yeah,
no worries with this one, at least.
I don't know, in an Atraxa deck, Tezzeret, Master of Metal, if you play it with a doubling season out and ultimate the turn you play it,
yeah,
it's kind of brutal, actually.
Yeah, so Tezzeret is 4 blue-black, 5 loyalty, plus 1 reveal cards from top of your library to hit an artifact, put it in your hand. Minus 3, target opponent loses life.
Oh, put that card in your hand and then the rest on the bottom of your library, as opposed to in the graveyard or room for the game. That matters.
Right. Sure, yeah, you're right. Minus 8, gain control of all artifacts and creatures target opponent controls. Yeah, that's pretty good. I think we can
remove
agree
target
that's
player from the
good.
Game. Jesus. Yeah. Homeward Path, save me.
For sure.
That's a card that will go back up too. Was that reprinted?
Yeah,
was
Homeward Path has been printed twice. I don't think it was printed this year.
Okay, it'll keep going up until it is, and then you buy it again, and then ad nauseum. It's easy.
Yeah.
It's 11. Easy.
Prints repeat. EDH players don't tend to take their decks apart, so I don't know, man. Yeah, it's just real easy. I mean, why do you think I'm so excited all the time? Every time there's a new set, I'm like,
oh yeah,
get
you're,
Rock
you're
Monster.
Just a bundle of joy all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason is like the magic Santa Claus, everybody.
I didn't say happy, I said excited. You can be excited and still condescend to people.
Okay.
Don't you understand that?
Sure do now. Thank God we have you here to explain to us.
You're a real bummer, Corbin.
Oh, I see.
So, I don't... There's nothing really out of the stuff that they've spoiled so far, these 10 cards. 12, I guess, technically.
Right.
That's super exciting. But I kind of think Aether Revolt could be a really good set. So, that'll be good.
Yeah, I certainly like what we've seen so far. There's definitely been some good stuff so far. All right, so let's touch on this now with that out of the way. Let's break some bulk before we move on.
Breaking bulk time. Breaking bulk time. Break.
Hey, Jason. You hate when people read cards on the cast. Why did you just read a card? Because nobody knows what that card does.
Everyone who reads my articles knew that card was worth money.
It's a pick. Breaking bulk. The end.
Breaking bolt.
Breaking bolt. Who wants to go first?
I'm going to go last.
All right. I'll go first. I'm in. All right. I got one for you guys. That it's definitely a weird card and one that, you may not come across a ton, but it's definitely worth knowing about because it's real money. It's a Cold Snap Uncommon. Cold Snap, of course, being this... this hugely forgotten set, really, from back in the day. And the card is Wall of Shards. It's a 2-mana Defender Flying 1/8 with a cumulative upkeep of an opponent gaining 1 life. So
it has a cumulative upkeep of making me money every time I find it.
Yeah.
Every year, it's just more and more money.
Well, it just spiked this year.
More
really.
Age
like,
counters.
It was a 50-cent card for a long time. It spiked with Oath of the Gatewatch, like just from $1 to $3, where it's been since, more or less. I'm not sure if there's, something in particular that made it happen. Or
could
have
just been a low supply tipping point, too.
Yeah.
Like, everyone could keep them in stock at $1 reasonably well, and then, like, all of a sudden... their copies weren't coming in to replace them, and buy list price spiked, and therefore retail spiked, or they just, like, there was a run on them, because they just, like, weren't getting them in to replace them, and then inventory started to run dry. It got picked up on, like, some MTG price, or MTG stocks, or Echo algorithm, and everyone noticed it. Who knows? But there's lots of different reasons stuff like that can happen, but on something like Cold Snap, where you're not getting... more copies in, no one's popping boxes of Cold Snap, you'll just hit a point where you're like, look, there's no more at this price, and the people that bought them put them in decks, and we're never going to see those copies again.
Yep.
Yeah, and the card is I mean, pretty reasonable, especially if we're talking Commander where you don't plan on winning through damage, you know. It's actually just an insane wall for two.
For two, I mean, mana. It plays multiple roles. It's the political card too aspect for the for the non-black deck. I'm not saying it's spiked because of that, but you can play it in the non-black four-color deck because the people who buy that deck and play that are the I want to help everyone and make friends and then win out of nowhere with janky combo. And you get six age counters on this thing, and you look at the guy who's being beaten to death, and you're like, hey, I'll give you eight life.
Right.
And then the casual players who play 78 card unsleeved play this in mill because they want Jace's Archivist and Jace's Phantasm and Mind Sculpt and all that stuff, and they're like, well, I need a way to not die to my friend's Sliver deck, and then they jam four of these.
Wall of Shards into Wall of Denial is a real... That's a lot of eight toughness defenders, so that's a thing.
So I've sort of gotten into this habit of picking through thousands of bulk rares and picking out the ones that are not bulk rares, even if they're really close. People send me thousands of bulk rares. They say, hey, I want 10 cents a piece for these. I measure them. I skim through real quick just to make sure they're all near mint in English. And then I say, yep, 10 cents a piece. Here's your $100 or here's your $130 in trade or whatever. And then I just get all these bulk rares and go through them when I get home. Desecration Demon is a card that rotated several years ago. Everybody forgot about it. Doesn't see modern play. But it fills a very important slot on the casual demon deck curve. Because when people put together their demon decks, they got a whole slew of 5, 6, 7, 8 drops to pick from. Not so many 4 drops. Desecration Demon currently retails for about a dollar. There are still several stores on the QS Trader Tools app who are willing to pay you 50 cents a piece for these. Get up to 75 cents sometimes. Demons. Card attacks for a lot of damage. And people like making their opponents have tough decisions. Stuff like Browbeat's worth money. Those players are just the kind that like to watch their opponent sweat over a decision that competitive players don't really have trouble with because they know the right choice. But it's just one of those cards you say, hey, I'll buy all your bulk rares or I'll clean out your binder of bulk rares for 10 cents a piece. And they're like, well, these have been sitting in here forever. And then you say, sure. You get Desecration Demons for 10 cents a piece. You take them to Tales of Adventure or whatever at your next GP, and you just say, hey, will you give me 25 cents or 50 cents for this? And then that's doubling or quintupling your money up.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, Jason, you wanted to go last. What do you got?
This is uncommon. It is a wizard. It's a 2-mana 1/2 from Onslaught. Its ability is untap target artifact or creature, and it morphs.
Is this the morph one? Yep. Apeto something.
Apeto. Alchemist.
Oh, yep. That's a thing.
I was very surprised to find a big stack of these, like 7 of them, when I was digging through. Okay, story time. A quick aside. I bought, probably 3 years ago, a big 5K box full of cards, and they were all penny sleeved. It was all penny sleeved bulk. And I was like, it was so miserable. I kind of dug through, but the sleeves were staticky and sticking together, so it was hard to like thumb through real fast. So I pulled out some obvious stuff, and I was just like, I hate this. And I kind of left the box, and in it there were like lanterns and fate stitchers and all kind of stuff that spiked in the meantime. So now it's worth more than if I just picked it at the time. So I'm kind of glad I waited. I didn't pick these at the time because I just was done digging through sleeve bulk. So I finally just went through just to get the penny sleeves and just to finally get it done. And I was just watching Netflix anyway, so it's not like it was a huge waste of time. But this is something I put off for years, and I just want the box out of there. So I'm digging through, and I found like 7 or 8 Apeto Alchemists. And I was like, I bet this is a pick. And I looked it up. I can't believe it. It's $2.50 retail. It's like $1.50 on certain buy lists. It's crazy. It's just like a random, unassuming looking random wizard from Onslaught. You just untap an artifact or creature. That's it. It's crazy. Like $2.50. You'll get these in bulk for sure. Just know. That there's a random wizard from Onslaught that's just worth all the money. And I was really happy. Basically, finding 7 of these meant I paid for the box, essentially. So when I sell these, I get a bunch of free sleeves and then all the other picks out of the box. And there's good stuff. There was like a bunch of how was my Breaking Bulk last week? The Ancestral Mask. I found a bunch of those. You know, I probably am not going to make more than $40 off of the box, but I probably would have made less if I had just not procrastinated. So hooray for waiting. That's my story. That's my Breaking Bulk pick. Sometimes you get $2.50 wizards in your bulk. That's why we buy bulk, right? You're just giving other people lots of chances to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You don't have to, man, there's gotta be some, Marcel never would have been like, yeah, after like 2.5 seconds of awkward silence, which by the way, I don't know. I'm no wizard, but those could probably be edited out. Cause there's just like, just some awkward silence that probably doesn't need to be in the podcast.
So you think we should just say they should just move on to the next thing?
That was better. See how you came in right away? That was good. Let's do that from now on.
Yep.
Anyways,
I reckon.
Moving on from Breaking Bulk, let's talk about something I know Jason want to talk about, and the rest of you, if you don't like it, suffer through because it'll make you money. Let's talk about Commander 2016 some more. I know we've seen sort of, you know, we talked about a lot of the cards here that you could make money with because of the set, and for the most part, those have come to fruition, but there's more. For instance, the Chain Veil moving a lot this week. We saw Dublin Season, of course, take the giant jump. I mean, is there anything else from these sets you guys think hasn't moved yet that's worth keeping an eye on?
I don't think – I'm not worried about the sets. I'm worried about the deck you're going to build. Like, the cards themselves, I think, are less relevant than the stuff around them that they make spike.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like I liken it to throwing a rock in a river, and it's like you're worried about the ripples. You're not worried about the rock itself.
Right.
So
what are those ripples? Cards? What's left?
Well, I mean, we talked about a lot of the stuff that went up this week. I actually really didn't. I didn't like the buying end. I knew Doubling Season would move. I just didn't like paying like $50 for it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't think it was. I didn't think it was the juiciest buying. I would rather, instead of buying one Doubling Season and having $40 tied up, I'd rather buy $40 worth of dollar cards. Chain Veil is a card we've just been saying every time they print new Planeswalkers or stuff like Deploy the Gatewatch. It's just like, yep, Chain Veil is going to go up eventually. So I just, every time I see one in a binder, I just like, 50 cents. I get it. So what's left out of Atraxa? A card I called that hasn't gone up yet is Venser the Sojourner. I really, really like that. That pairs very nicely with Deep Glow Skate. That's like just a really dirty combo. Plus, Venser, the Sojourner just does stuff you want to do. You want to flash stuff for value. Don't you want to flash stuff for value? It doesn't have to be a Deep Glow Skate. It could be anything. It could be Acidic Slime. It can be Coiling Oracle, you know? So I like Venser the Sojourner a lot. It was in a dual deck, so it's around $10. I think $10 is an excellent buy-in for a Planeswalker that could easily get to 15 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. Jason Reveler of Secrets, I think the ship has sailed on that. I like Ashiok at $5. Not every Atraxa deck's going to run Ashiok, but like you should. Ashiok's really dumb. It's a dirty Planeswalker, and it actually gets run in a lot of Fennex and Lazav and Una decks also. It's a mill card, but it doesn't put it in the graveyard at exile stuff, so. Like, Sense Triplets decks run it, Damiel, Rexxiel, even Nekusar. I like Ashiok a lot, and the fact that it's played in a non-zero number of Atraxa decks, and Atraxa is very popular. And it's about $5 for a Mythic from a set that's 2 years old. I think that's got some room to grow. There are a lot of Planeswalkers, and I think those are probably the only two I really care about. If you can get Narset Transcendent for cheap, that's in like a third of the Atraxa decks we've seen so far. Right. Really, it's a lot of personal choice because none of these Planeswalkers are in more than a third of the decks. You know, yeah. Like Jace Bellerin and Freelace are only in like 10%, but like nothing's in more than like 35%. A lot of people are running Veraska. That's kind of like dirt cheap. Right now it's $5. It's been printed a couple times, so it doesn't help. I was surprised Mirari's Wake rebounded as fast as it did after Conspiracy 1. But it was a mythic there, so I guess we didn't get a whole lot of supply. Oath of Nyssa, you missed the boat on that.
I've got one for you. A ship that is sailing, but not yet sailed, at least.
Do you think it'll still be good by Friday?
I think that it's worth mentioning, at least. A Johnny Steadfast.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. So that's already around $11. I don't...
I don't know how high it can get.
That was what, M15?
It's M15. There's still a decent amount on the internet, so it's rising, but I don't think it's quite there yet. The market price on it is only $8 right now. So, you know, there's still some time to go. And hopefully, you know, by the time this podcast comes out, that'll be true. But that's worth looking at if you're building this. Moving on to, you know, looking at like the Brea deck, for instance, Tezzeret the Seeker. It's got 3 printings, but all of them are starting to rise. So I think this could easily go from the $9 it's at, right? $8, $9 it's at, to at 15 to 20 range. Don't sleep on
Brea
that.
Was another. I think we talked a lot about Brea stuff last week because we talked about how Thopter Foundry got reprinted, but Sword didn't. Brea's it's almost as popular as Atraxa. There's a real jump down. Go ahead.
I don't think Krark Clan Ironworks has done spiking.
No, I don't think like Arkham Daxam is either.
You talked about it last week or a couple weeks ago.
ACI was my pick of the week last week, I think. Yeah.
And it was like $4 or $5 at that time, and since then it's gone up to $8.50. This is a Fifth Dawn uncommon. Like we've seen uncommons from that block be $30, $40. And this has a lot more commander appeal than Aether Vial. This has seen fringe modern play as 4-ofs and wacky combo decks like Eggs. And just, I've seen Tron lists play this in like weird aspects and stuff like that. Like, if this sees any more modern play, we're easily looking at $15, $20.
But I mean, this isn't a buy KCI. It's when you listened to the podcast last week and heard me say get KCI and you did, hold them.
I don't know. Like, if you find copies at 7 or 8, I don't hate you for buying this. I just can't.
It's a little bit reprintable. I kind of want to come off these if it's in 10. Nim Deathmantle is another card. That's part of the combo. Deathmantle is still available under $5. I think Nim Deathmantle is a $5 card. Easily. Maybe more.
Yeah. Mimic Vat, too. I like Mimic Vat.
Yeah. Time Sieve already went up. I think we mentioned that card last week. This is just real easy. You go on EDH Rec, and then you look at the cards that are in the deck. You know, it's pretty trivial. Anybody can do what we're doing. You know, we kind of look like geniuses calling all these cards.
We are
really,
geniuses.
We're just looking
at
what people are playing, and you could easily do the same thing. But if you're busy, we can sort through a lot of the noise and find the signal for you. Because there's a lot of noise, and there are a lot of factors that people might not think of. So definitely listen to our podcast, you bunch of nerds. Thanks for listening. But
and we're out.
But I mean, you could easily. But what you could do is like maybe ask us questions. If you come over, like, hey, what about this? Because I get tweets every day from people saying, hey, what about this? So that's if you have a question about something that you find just looking through EDH Rec or I don't know MTG Salvation or just look at what people are playing. So Yidris, it seems like it's taken a little longer for Yidris stuff to hit, but it's going to. Wheel effects, Cascade cards. I think Xenogod's a good pickup at $8. I really like that. I'm surprised Thassa's as much as it is.
Merfolk.
Maybe. Is that
not
why?
Not really. It's a little tiny bit, as in it is playable in Merfolk.
I mean, I think if they print Avenger Zendikar again, I think you just buy it when it's its cheapest, because that's a card that's just going to rebound. Runescar Demon, I don't even hate that at $5. I kind of think that could go up. But Yidris actually made me notice my, I keep teasing my pick of the week. We'll just do that soon, because I keep teasing it.
Yep.
But Yidris made me look at because Idris kind of pairs well with Vile Smasher. So both of those decks reward you for playing high casting cost stuff if you can play it for cheaper. Like Vile Smasher, if you pay one mana to Blasphemous Act, you dome them for 9 with Vile Smasher, and then you just blow up the whole board. It's pretty dope. And you can do that for one mana if you have enough creatures out. So stuff like that, Blasphemous Act, I don't know, like all kind of the Delve stuff, X-Spell stuff. When you play an X-Spell with Vile Smasher, it's the mana you paid, it's not the on the card. So so if you like Fireball them, you double Fireball them. I like Temporal Trespass. That's like $2. Temporal Trespass says take an extra turn. You exile it, so you can't do a bunch of shenanigans, but I don't know, man. At like $2 for a mythic and a card you can potentially pay 3 mana to time walk and potentially dome somebody for 11 with Vile Smasher, I like Temporal Trespass a lot. So there's just all kind of
picks. It's for a really garbage set, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that set was a big bag of turds with like a, it was like the lid wasn't like, or like the twist tie, I guess, on like, they spun the bag around, but they didn't really fix it well. So the turds are actually leaking.
Sure. Why not? Perfect analogy. Yeah. You did.
I think so. I said lid for a while. I don't know. If I had a turd bag, I would want a lid on it. Something you could securely screw on there.
Turd bag? That sounds like having a kid. Like, yeah, we got a turd bag.
You know what? Yeah. Oh, no, I ripped the fucking bag on my diaper genie. Oh. I was just stuffing diapers in there. I was like, wow, this bag is holding so many diapers. It turns out it just torn the bag open. And I opened up the thing, and it was everywhere.
We're still on that cloth diaper plan.
Cloth diaper? Oh, Jesus.
It's been pretty good.
Did you go to a hospital, or did you do home birthing?
We went to a hospital.
Pull a baby's crown and boiled some water.
The
tear up the bed sheets.
I would say that the cloth diapers have worked very well. It's really not a big deal. I just throw them in a.
You know,
I just throw them in
deal.
A thing when I'm done with them. Marianne washes them. It's perfect.
Oh. You make your wife wash your diapers?
I don't make her do anything, but she generally is the one who washes them. I have, but she has a little more experience with the Come details on, needed.
Yeah, you know what we're doing at my house, actually? Cloth toilet paper. They come in individual squares. You wipe your butt, and then you throw them in a bag, and then you can wash them later. Jesus, Corbin, just throw them away, man.
I mean, that's, you can say whatever you want. We saved a lot of money this way.
That's how we do it at my house. If something has shit all over it, we're like, you know what? We don't need this anymore, and we just get rid of it.
That's fine.
That's what we do with shit-covered things in my house. Because I guess I'm crazy.
I like that hashtag value. You don't have to like hashtag value.
My time not spent rinsing shit off of things is valuable also. I value my time. Like, wow, I could be rinsing shit off of something right now, but instead I'm, I don't know, talking to you guys, so I waste my life in other ways.
All you have to do is do laundry. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, and I don't throw her outfits away when she has blowouts, so I'm not even sticking my own rules. It's fine. Do you guys want to do pick of the week?
Sure.
Don't say cloth diapers. It's not a good pick of the week. You're poor. Stop acting poor.
Pick of the week. Pick of the week. Pick of the week. Pick of the week. Time for the pick of the week.
Guys, I've teased this card twice. This is a card when I initially went through the Commander 2016 stuff. I wasn't real high on this card. I was like, yeah, whatever. I didn't.
Jason, you're such a pick tease.
I didn't like the Undaunted mechanic that much, but with Yidris, Undaunted stuff's really good. And then I finally, like, really thought about the implications of Curtain's Call, right? It's 5 colorless and a black, but it's got Undaunted, meaning it costs a colorless less for each opponent, meaning if you're in a 4-player pod, you have 3 opponents, which means Curtain Call 6 mana is really 3. So for 3 mana, 2 colorless and a black, you're destroying 2 target creatures. Not 2 target non-black, non-artifact creatures. Not 2 non-fairy creatures. Just destroy 2 creatures. You're paying Dark Banishing mana for double murder. This card is fucking Nutter Butters. I can't believe I didn't like this card. And And I'm staring at this card. I'm like, I can't believe everybody else doesn't like this card. How did everyone miss this? You're doming them for six with a Vial Smasher. You're cascading into five drop spells with Yidris. And you're just straight murdering two creatures. You look at how many EDH decks are running Go for the Throat. This is one mana more than Go for the Throat. You're always going to have two targets because there are four players at the table. And hell, if you have five players, it costs the same as Go for the Throat, except it just murders two creatures. And Go for the Throat's got color and type restrictions. It has no restrictions. Curtain's Call is like 50 cents. I cannot stress enough how good this card is and how everybody, even me, ignored this card. And I'm just looking at it, and I can't believe it's this cheap. I'm just going to go buy a bunch of these. I'll wait till Friday so you guys get a first crack at them. But, like, I don't buy cards I publicly mention that often because I don't want to look like I'm just getting you guys to do my dirty work, making my card spike for me. But this is – I like this card too much to have scruples all the time. And I don't think there's many copies of this as there are. And I don't think there are enough of us to really make this like 10 bucks or anything ridiculous. So I'm just going to get these for when they go up in 2 years because they're going to. This card's stupid. I don't know that they're going to reprint Undaunted stuff anytime soon. So I think this is just like people are going to be like, holy shit, this is double murder for three mana? My God. Yeah, that's what it is. Plus you get to like cascade into a five drop. It's silly. Curtain's Call is so good. I'm really upset with myself for missing it before, but hey, the price hasn't gone up since pre-order, so fuck it. I get to be right a month later and pretend I was right the whole time. So, buy Curtain's Calls, because I'm gonna.
Yeah, I'll jump in next. That one was for the trolls. no, I'll jump in. I've got one that I actually like quite a bit. I think it's on the verge of a big breakout, and I think we have a little bit of time left, and it's another one. It's on the list of how did I not see this coming with these four color commanders. How about Bloom Tender?
That's like $1 million.
It's not, it's $19. It's about to be an actual $1 million. It's $19 right now. There are literally a dozen copies on TCG Player right now. And as it turns out, a two drop that adds mana to your mana pool for each color of permanent you control is pretty good in a world of four color commanders where four of those five four color commanders have green in them. So, yeah, I'm all over this thing. Absolutely. This is going to be...
Do you like a $20
buy-in? I mean, look
buy-in?
At Doubling Season, right? It's the same sort of...
Yeah, like, no, it, I
went
get
up like
you.
$20 or $30. Like, if you're somebody at home who has these decks, am I telling you go buy the dozen, two dozen copies you can find on the internet and watch it go to $50 and make $10 a copy after you buy list them? No, I'm saying a lot of our listeners presumably play Commander. Hey, this card's about to explode. You know, be ahead of
yeah,
the curve.
Here's what you do.
This feels very real.
That's
buy,
true, but it didn't get reprinted.
Buy one copy that you need and then buy a second copy so you're exposed to...
Yeah,
upside.
I mean, this was basically the perfect place for it to get reprinted, DJ, and it didn't, so.
Yeah, like next year it'll be two colors. They might jam this in some sort of other supplementary product, but it's, yeah, when and where, DJ?
Modern Masters.
I mean, sure.
Yeah, they'd have to. But they seem to like, really be so glacial. It's like they have to plan these commander sets like 4 years in advance, and they're like, oh boy, Phyrexian Altar is up to $10. Maybe we'll have to look at reprinting that. Oh fuck, now it's 30. Oops, we did nothing. So I feel like, I don't know, man. I feel like they would have had to decide to do Bloom Tender in Modern Masters like 2 years ago. Back when it was like $14, maybe it wasn't a priority then. So I don't know. I don't know.
I think that either way, it's if you want them to play in your four color commander deck, you should do so. And this is your opportunity to do that for sure.
Double your, this is the advice we give on this podcast a lot, just double your order. If you want one Bloom Tender for a deck, buy two, because if it goes to $40 you
right.
can sell that,
and if it does get reprinted you got a year of use.
Bloom Tender was free and you yeah
yeah
all right
so
sure
Yeah, that's a good pick. I don't know. I tend to avoid super high buy-in stuff like that. But I mean, you're absolutely everything you said about Bloom Tender is right. And this could be a $30 card pretty soon. So it's the thing is, it's the funny thing is, it's so expensive. It's not getting added to a bunch
correct.
Of decks.
Correct. It already has that high buy-in. But
people.
But it's on its. I mean, but it's yeah. going to. It's going to move. Make a big move. That's just. There is no doubt.
Yeah, it's pretty much just like got to, right? So good. Hopes you cast Maelstrom Wanderer super early. We all love doing that. So
DJ?
What's yours, DJ?
So Conspiracy 2 was not opened as much as everybody thought it was.
Correct.
Do you guys know what Hallowed Burial was three months ago? Do you know what it is
a
now?
Dollar.
Probably $5 or $6.
It's a bulk rare. it got printed into just dust by Conspiracy 2.
Which is weird.
Actually, no. It looks like it got printed into dust by Conspiracy 2. It was $5 or $6 like 6 months ago. It steadily dropped down to like $4 before the reprint. And then the reprinted one is a bulk rare. This is another card I got in that giant stack of bulk rares. I'm like, there's no way this is a bulk rare. But it is. And instead of putting this in my 25-cent box, I'm going to throw this in my not 25-cent box. And then wait 2 years, and I'm going to check on it, and it's going to be $2 again.
Yeah, two or three. This is something that kind of jumped up artificially. Remember when Fracturing Gust and Hallowed Burial and like a bunch of modern sideboard cards were getting bought out? This was a card that spiked then, and then like reality kind of set in, and it sort of trickled down to like a reasonable price.
Right,
I think this is a $4 card, so
it can go back to that reasonable price. It doesn't have to go back to that absurd. Like if you look at the graph on stocks, it was like okay, $4 up until Theros jumps to $7, stays at like $6 or $7 all the way down to Battle for Zendikar, creeps down to $4, and like it hit once Kaladesh came out, it was $4. And then it bulk rared. So now it can go back up to that $4 with that actual EDH demand of the people who are like, oh, I don't want to pay all this money for this other effect.
Yeah. EDH is, Fumigate might make this a little bit obsolete. That's the only
problem.
This
is better than Fumigate.
It is better than Fumigate, but I think, because you're tucking everything.
Some guy's going to play Fumigate. He's going to get wrecked by a bunch of indestructible stuff, and he's going to get wrecked by a bunch of regenerate stuff, and then he's going to be like, wait, how do I kill that thing?
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about EDH is you don't need to play a Wrath on 4. You basically, we were talking about how we don't like Healy's expertise or whatever, just because, I mean, Damnation on 4 is probably a little too late for Modern. But in EDH, like, you don't need that Wrath on 4, so you're better off playing a 5-mana Wrath with upside than the 4-mana Wrath, just because, you know, that's why Fumigate's popular. That's why stuff like Martial Coup is popular. That's why I like Burial a lot. And yeah, God, my LGS overordered on Conspiracy, and I was like, I'll just take those boxes and see what I can get for them on eBay. They're like his cost on eBay right now. Conspiracy box. Like if they get any cheaper, then whoever is selling to you them to you lost money on them. But there's still just a million Conspiracy boxes out there. I don't know what happened with this set. Nobody got time to draft it. So if I can pay cost on these, I might just like bust a few and draft them with my friends, because it's a great set. And apparently Hallowed Burial is a bulk rare, so who knew?
All right.
I like stuff that makes you the Monarch, like
yeah,
long-term.
Yeah, for sure.
Like the one that doubles $5. Mana. Like that land that
the
makes...
land.
Yeah.
The land, too.
The land's legacy playable. I saw somebody play. It's like, hey, I have a land that taps for a Phyrexian Arena. That seems pretty good.
All right. Anything else you guys want to hit on before we get out of here for this week? Good one.
Hit on your wife.
All right, everybody. That'll do it for us. Thank you for listening to Brainstorm Brewery. We will be back next week. We're getting close to Christmas. Maybe you'll get episode 200 for Christmas. Who knows? But probably.
Marcel's working on it. I don't know if he wants me telling you that, but he's definitely
you
working
might
on
get it.
It,
but you might not.
If you don't get it, it's because you didn't deserve it and you're a bad podcast listening audience. That's it,
as we're on like episode 216 or something.
Yeah, it's Monday. If this podcast comes out on Friday and I still haven't gotten the Teespring up, send me a bunch of mean tweets.
Man.
Oh.
All right, there you go.
Okay. You go, I need to be motivated.
Pressure is on.
Yeah. Send him all the mean tweets.
He's asking for it. Repay the favor that they sent to me a few weeks ago. Give it all to Jason.
But if I do get the Teespring up by Friday when this podcast comes out, buy a shirt, buy a hoodie.
There you go.
Oh, I thought you were going to say send a bunch of mean tweets to Corbin.
I get enough of those. Come on, man.
You do that. Yeah. You can't make a Corbin parody account.
Please don't.
411. Yeah. So yeah, let's motivate me to, because I really need to, I was supposed to do that last week, and I don't know if you know this or not, but I did not.
All right.
Until next week, thanks for listening. Thanks for slogging through the really boring stuff where we had fun and laughed and talked about what we wanted to talk about. I'm really sorry that we didn't just read a list of cards you should go
buy. Peace out, fam.
Yeah, don't steal stuff from Travis Allen next time.
What did I steal from Travis Allen?
No, like, remember how he got mad at you guys for, like, that parody video that Sander yeah. uploaded to YouTube?
Yeah, he was like, don't steal from us. We're like, dude, this is from 3 years ago. We talked about it last week. We talked about it 3 years ago, man. Sander pulled it out. Right.
Yeah, that was us making fun of people.
I remember what
for,
it was.
Like, do you have to really podcast for a whole hour?
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, minutes. That's right. Oh, I forgot about
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it's all the shitty feedback we got in like the QS forums. Like, do you really have to do a whole hour to podcast? I was like, what do you want us to just read you a list of cards to go buy, asshole? So we did like a 2-minute podcast where all we did was like talk about the cards that went up and then what to go buy. Oh, that was great. We all did like monotone voices. Oh, you're so white.
My bad.
That's almost as white as like saying you can't go play basketball because if you hurt your knee.
It really did hurt.
It's a pretty white thing to do.
I was crying. Not literally, but
when you say peace out, fam, it's so white it voted for Gary Johnson. That's how white it was.